For that matter, Coleman and Jarris had increased their own family's fortunes enormously in the process. Of course, that was one of the standard accepted perquisites of their birth and position, and their own share of the graft had been factored into the Navy's original cost estimates. With that in mind, they were actually ahead of schedule and marginally under budget where the actual building programs were involved, and the local metalworking industry was booming. It wasn't precisely mere happenstance that almost all of the expanded foundries, and every single one of the new foundries, supplying artillery to the ships building in Ithria, Marosa, and Kerman Keep, were located in the Duchy of Coleman. But there were actually some valid logistical arguments to support the far more important money-making arguments in favor of that. And production was rising rapidly. The guns coming out of those foundries might cost more than twice as much as the same guns would have cost from Carizian foundries, and they might have been two or three times as likely to burst on firing, but they were still being cast and bored far more quickly than Desnarian artillery had ever before been produced, and they were arriving in numbers almost adequate to arm the new construction as it came out of the yards.
"We can tell them that," the Duke said, "and for that matter, whether His Majesty wants to admit it or not, he'll almost certainly realize that it is going to take time to crew and train this many ships. But he's still going to want some kind of an estimate as to how long it's going to take, and I don't think he's going to settle for generalities much longer. Even if he'd like to, Bishop Executor Martin isn't going to stand for it."
"Probably not," Jarris agreed. The Baron sat gazing at one of the paintings on Coleman's office wall for several seconds, stroking his beard while he thought. Then he shrugged and returned his attention to the other man.
"I think we need to tell the Bishop Executor that whether it's going to be convenient or not, we're going to have to send the tithe overland to Zion this year. I'll give you an official report and recommendation to that effect. And then I think we need to point out that we're actually managing to build and arm the ships faster than the people responsible for providing crews can get the men to us. When I write up my recommendation to send the tithe overland, I'll also point out what's happened to Welar underscores the obvious need for longer and more intensive training even after we get the crews assembled. And as the men come in, let's assign them proportionately to all of the ships ready to commission, rather than fully crewing a smaller number of them."
Coleman's eyes narrowed, and he felt himself beginning to nod slowly. If they announced that they had even a limited number of new galleons fully manned, they would almost inevitably come under pressure to repeat the same disastrous sort of experiment which had just recoiled so emphatically on Welar. As long as they could report, honestly, that the ship's crews remained seriously under strength, there'd be no pressure, or none that couldn't be resisted at any rate, to send them to sea in ones and twos where the Carizians could snip them off like frost-killed buds.
"And if we spread the men between as many ships as possible, we can do that while still sending in manpower returns that show we're making use of every man they send us. That it's not our fault the supply won't stretch to cover all our requirements, however hard we try." "All right," he agreed. "That makes sense. And if they press us for a definite schedule anyway?"
"Our first response should be to say we'll have to see how successful they are in sending us the men we require," Jarris replied promptly. "That's only the truth, by the way. Tell them we're going to need some time, probably at least a month or two, to form some kind of realistic estimate of how long it will take to fully man the ships we need at the rate they can provide the crews. After that, we'll need time to train them. I imagine that will take at least several more months, and it's already February."
The Baron shrugged again.
"Under the circumstances, I'd say August or September would be the soonest we could possibly expect to really be prepared. And even then, and I'll mention this tactfully, of course, in my report to you as well, we're going to be inexperienced enough that it would be unrealistic to expect us to win without a significant numerical advantage. Obviously, his lips twitched in a faint smile, it would be wisest to avoid operations which would permit the Carizians to whittle away at our own strength until we can be reinforced with enough of the ships building elsewhere to provide us with that necessary numerical advantage.
Of course, Coleman agreed. August or September, eh? He thought, restraining a smile of his own. Heading into October, really, with the inevitable and explainable schedule slippage, aren't you, Irwin? Slippage we can blame with complete justification on the people who aren't getting us the manpower we need. More probably even next November, which will just happen to be about the time Xingwu's passage freezes solid, at which point none of those ships building elsewhere will be able to reinforce us until spring. It hadn't escaped the Duke's thoughts as he considered what Jarrus had just said, that stretching out the schedule would also present the opportunity to funnel still more of the Church's bounty into his own and the Baron's purses. In truth, however, that calculation was little more than a spinal reflex, inevitable in any Desnarian noble. What was more important, at least insofar as Coleman's conscious analysis was concerned, was that acting too precipitously, being the first swimmer to plunge into a sea full of Carizian-manned krakens, would be an unmitigated disaster for the navy he and Jarrus were supposed to be building. Far better to be sure there were at least other targets for those krakens to spread their efforts between. "Go ahead and write your report," the Duke of Coleman told his Admiral General. "In fact, I think it would be a good idea to backdate at least some of it. We really have been thinking about this for a while, so let's make that clear to His Majesty." The Duke smiled thinly. "It wouldn't do to have him decide we're just trying to cover our arses after what happened to Velar, after all."